And Adam Pengilly is joining us from the City Morning Herald. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys, and happy Friday.
Indeed. Let's recap the footy last night. 28-20, the Roosters over the Eels, and the big talking point out of the game, I guess, was the hit on James Tedesco and him going off with an HIA after just 20 minutes or so. Bailey Simonson went to the sin bin. How did you see it?
Yeah, at first glance, Jared, I must say I thought Bailey Simonson was lucky to stay on the field when I watched it the first time. And then the more you watch the replay, and Trent Robinson made this point in the post-game press conference last night, he was ropeable at the time, but then he calmed down and watched the replay after the game, and he thought, oh, I'm not 100% sure if that really was a send-off offence. So he was a little bit sitting on the fence there. Obviously, the match review committee will deal with that a little bit later today. If they deem there was contact made to the head and it was forceful, then Bailey Simons could be sitting on the sidelines for a few weeks with that charge. But I feel sorry for James Tedesco. And guys, I don't know if you remember back to a couple of years ago. It was an eerily similar instance, that concussion, that heavy concussion he suffered against Parramatta, the same team, at Combank Stadium a couple of years ago, which pretty much spawned the Magic Rounds crackdown the week after. So same similar sort of play, same team playing against. And obviously with the new concussion guidelines, James Tedesco won't play against the Storm next week for the Roosters. That's a massive loss for them heading down to Melbourne. Just on the game itself, well, the Roosters were always in control of that game, weren't they? They took advantage of the Eels being down to 12 men twice in the first half, Will Pennicini's professional foul and then Bailey Simonson's high shot, and they scored late in both times of those 10-minute blocks. And I think Parramatta can still take a fair bit out of that game, scoring a couple of tries late. They kept fighting to the end, and I know they've only won one game and lost four from their first five rounds, but I don't think they're in as bad a spot as what the ladder says. And with a draw coming up in the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks with games against teams like the Tigers, the Bulldogs, the Broncos, Knights, and then the Gold Coast Titans, there's an opportunity there for them to win a few games and try and get their season back on track. So I know Brad Arthur's not hitting the panic button yet, and I think the Eels can still make their way into the top eight at some stage later this year.
Yeah, I think that's the key, Adam. The fact that their run over the next couple of weeks, if they win those games, everything will be okay. But the problem is when you drop games and then you're chasing your tail a little bit, if you don't get those games you're expected to win, then you can drop right out the back. So that'll be a major watch in the next couple of weeks. But I actually thought they tried hard, Parramatta. They're just not executing as well as some of the other teams. And the Roosters, on the other hand, they're not playing their best football, but they're finding ways to win. And I thought coming out of trouble last night, they did it easy. But when they got in good ball, they were sort of a bit frantic with their plays. But they were able to break Parramatta down. And in the end, they came away with, you know, even though it was only an 8-point victory, I still thought they were the dominant team. But one of the biggest stories of the week, other than Joseph Swali'i, has been Jack Whiten's decision to go and test himself on the open market.
How you
hold
up,
surprise? Well?
How are you holding up? Are you okay?
Mate, I'm okay, actually, because I don't think the Raiders are losing.
Sure.
No, I think he's on with the Raiders.
Have you spoken to him?
No.
Not yet?
No. Okay. No. I wouldn't speak to anyone about their
contract
situation.
Mate, you speak
situation.
To your son about where he's going to play, surely.
Oh, no, I want him to start the Raiders, and I think he will. I don't know, 80% confident?
Yeah, I'd be surprised, Wes. Yeah. I'd be surprised if he leaves, and you know him obviously probably better than most. He just seems that sort of guy that suits the Canberra lifestyle, with his family living on his property just on the outskirts of Canberra there, and enjoying everything that comes with living in a town that's a little bit quieter, not as bustling as a place like Sydney or Brisbane. But it certainly caught a lot of people by surprise earlier this week. And I've actually got a story in the Herald today speaking to Latrell Mitchell, saying he'd love him to come to South Sydney and play with the Rabbitohs. Now, they've obviously got issues with the salary cap there. It's probably a little bit unrealistic to think that. But we do know how close he is to Latrell and Cody Walker and those sort of guys. And whether he can command top dollar and probably have to play in the centres, given that Cody Walker's already 5'8 at South Sydney, obviously it's highly unlikely it'll happen. But yeah, it definitely caught me by surprise earlier this week. I know Wayne Bennett's going to still be sniffing around for a marquee at some stage and get a player that's going to be being paid $1 million on his books that could slot into the halves there. So I don't know. I tend to agree with you, Loz. I think Jack will probably stay at the Raiders. And I know a lot of people said it's his last big contract. He's got every chance to test the open market. But I also agree with what Ricky Stewart said yesterday. That club has stood by Jack in a lot of really trying circumstances over many, many years. So does he still owe them? Does he still owe them the chance to finish his career there as a Raider and a one-club player?
And what's he worth, though? I'm like, his talk, he's on 800 or 900 grand now. What's he worth?
Yeah, it's a good question,
like,
Clarkie.
Like, you're only worth what someone will pay, but I think you're saying, and Loz is saying, you think he's going to stay at the Raiders, but where do they go? Do they go to $1 million, an extra 100 grand? Do the Dolphins or the Tigers, do they go, are they willing to pay him 1.2, 1.3 on a three-year deal?
Yeah,
it's a lot of money.
It is. But we've got to change the way we think about the salary cap because of the new salary cap, right? We talk about in the old days, oh, geez, if you're $1 million player, you've got to be doing X, Y, Z. Well, the salary cap's gone up significantly this year to 11.4, 11.5. So naturally, guys at the top end of the market are going to be getting paid a little bit more. So whether the Dolphins think he's worth that amount of money to pay 1.1, 1.2 potentially to get him up to Brisbane, if that's the route they want to pursue, that's a call for them. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Raiders, if they do re-sign him on a contract that's worth seven figures. And that's purely just because of what he's worth to the Raiders, but also the fact the salary cap has risen for the next 5 years. So our top earners are going to be earning. There's going to be a lot more guys in that $1 million club per season now than what there was, say, two or three years ago.
What did you make of the West Tigers reaching out to to Mitchell Pearce, the phone call between Benji and Mitch?
Bizarre, Loz, isn't it? I must admit, I didn't see this one coming. And you can just see that Tim Sheens and Benji are desperate to try and get an experienced half on the books to steer them around the park. And it says that they're not completely sold on Luke Brooks. Loz, what do you do if you're the Tigers with Luke Brooks? Like, he's still there. He's still trying his best. But they're obviously throwing the bait out to try and get several players, a Cameron Munster, a Mitchell Moses, now a Mitchell Pearce. Luke Brooks is still off contract at the moment as it stands. I'd imagine they have to make a call on his future in the next month, probably to 6 weeks. Like, where do they go now? I'm of the belief that they just probably need to part ways and give Luke a chance for a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, he's a good player, Luke Brooks, but obviously he's not the player, the controlling halfback that the West Tigers are after or the West Tigers need. Hence the reason why they've chased Mitchell. And again, you know, I'm unsure of where Luke's best position is. I know in that West Tigers system, it's definitely not seven. I think he could make a good running six. I agree with Clarkey. I think he'd make a great number nine. But would he be prepared to move into that position now, so late in his career? But I think he's got all the attributes of a wonderful number nine, but he's got the ability with his versatility also to come off the interchange bench and be that good 14 for a club. But the big issue, I suppose, that Luke's going to face is, what's he on, $1 million?
Yeah, this year he is, yeah.
What's someone going to pay him at the end of the year? It's going to drop significantly.
Yes.
In fact, mate, you're talking at least half his wage is going to go.
Yeah. He would have to, I'd imagine he's going to have to re-sign for another club and probably going to, he's going to have to halve his wage. He's going to have to halve his wage to get another gig somewhere else unless something dramatic happens in the next few months. And you talk about potentially making a fist of hooker laws. Well, he's not going to do that. The Tigers with Happy Chorus out there. No. He's going to have to look for another club, obviously. So I don't know. I can understand why Tim Sheens and Benji want to try and get a controlling half. Is Mitchell Pearce the right person? What is he, 33, 34? I haven't been following the Super League that closely, but it appears like he's missed several games to start the year with a calf problem. So his body, he has always looked after his body, Mitchell, I think, relatively well, but he's getting to that age now where injury is going to start catching up with him a little bit more. So I think Pearce's put a stop to it pretty quickly, saying he's quite happy over there in the Super League playing with Catalan.
And the other thing with Mitch too, Adam, I don't know whether he'd want to come back into the spotlight of the NRL.
Yeah, that's right, Loss. Yeah, I think he enjoyed getting out of the fishbowl of the NRL where there was so much spotlight on him and so much pressure to go to the south of France. And I know it's a cliche, but he can just live his life a lot easier over there, can't he?
Who are you betting on?
Oh, what a deep, deep program this is, Jared, having a look at it last night. It is a tough program. I'm just trying to find a couple of value plays there tomorrow at Randwick. In the TJ Smith Stakes, I want to be with Private Eye, race 7, number 3, Private Eye. I thought he was really good in the Newmarket first up. I know he was beaten by Instreaker, but I think there was a case to say you could make. He was on the wrong part of the track. It was only his first up run. He's going to improve into his second up run here. I'll just go back to his runs at the back end of last preparation. He was so great in Sydney in the Everest. And obviously we saw what he did down in Melbourne prior to that. And I just think it's his time. I think we've got a real changing of the guard in our sprinting ranks at the moment. At the price, from the nice gate, I want to have something on him. And in the Doncaster, if he gets a run, race 8, number 21, Osipenko, has to appeal to me. We know that Chris Weller loves the Doncaster. He loves winning the race with 3-year-olds. He's got 49 kilos from an inside gate and an in-form rider. In a race where there could be 6 or 7 winners legitimately, I think he is the value in the race, Osipenko, that double figures, and happy to have something on him. So the two value plays at Randwick tomorrow, race 7, number 3, Private Eye, and race 8, number 21, Osipenko in the Doncaster.
And Osipenko's in with Kerwin's Lane coming out. So there you go.
Beautiful.
$14 at the moment. Mate, you have a great day and a good weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend, boys.